Hi, welcome to the Danny Brush Show. It's episode number 5 with MMA UK. I've got Ross Conroy on, who is a motivational coach, helps people get that happy headspace, which I think we all need at the minute. We got to make the best of the situation that we've got. I hope everyone's keeping safe and hope you enjoy the show. Cheers. Nice one. MMA UK with Danny Brush Show. This is episode number 5. I'm joined with Ross Conroy, who is, how do you describe yourself, mate? A motivational speaker?
Motivational speaker, performance coach. Take people to the next level.
Nice, nice. How'd you get into that then?
Well, for a long time, my own life was massively out of control. I was involved in a lot of drinking and taking drugs and stuff like that. And I made a decision to get sober and sort myself out. And from there, it just kind of spiraled. I started helping people, and then when I was telling people my story and things like that, they were telling me that's really inspiring. So I went and I wanted to more than just help people. I wanted to be able to deal with things like trauma and any sort of barriers or blockages that people put up. So I went and done a few courses down in London, and it just went from there.
No way. Bit of something different, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's just spiraled.
So do you do it like full time kind of thing, or have you got a job as well?
No, that's what I do full time. I've got my own business, so I've got clients all over the place. I've got clients in Glasgow, clients in Dubai, London, just all over the place really.
Nice. What do you make of the current situation then? Obviously a bit this is something a lot of people might be turning to somebody like you to try and get a bit of help.
Yeah, I mean, obviously right now I can't do it face-to-face. I believe that the connection, human connection, with a live show, if you like, face-to-face, is a lot easier than doing things like this. Trying to get someone relaxed or to deal with any sort of issues like this through Skype or Zoom or FaceTime or anything is really difficult. But also, I was speaking to, so I've still got a coach, I've still got someone who helps me, advises me on business and stuff like that. And he was in the same mindset as me with everything that's plastered on the media just now. And it's so in your face. It's very difficult to take someone out of that when it's constant, constant, constant. There's a lot of fear. This has driven me a lot of fear. There's a lot of uncertainty. And there's a lot of confusion amongst people as well, because the Prime Minister isn't being clear on what it is that's actually happening. I mean, I seen the news last night. I've really tried to switch off for the news because I'm not believing a lot of the stuff that's being said. And when I'm looking at the London Underground yesterday, it was absolutely rammed with people. But on the other side of it, you've got doctors and nurses who are telling you, don't go out, don't do this and don't do that. And the scientists are, obviously Boris Johnson, I watched his interviews last week. And because of what I do, I look at leadership skills and I look at the way that he portrays himself, the way that he carries himself. And I was looking at him, and when he was being asked questions, he was directing them either side of him. He wasn't taking any of the questions on himself. He was really passing them either side, which I suppose people will say he's leaving it to the experts. Yeah. But for me, if you're looking at someone to lead the country and lead the UK into this pandemic, you're looking for somebody who's going to be very, very strong themselves and someone that you're able to listen to. Again, on Friday, the uncertainty, we're closing all pubs, clubs and restaurants, but we'll do it at midnight tonight. So they were letting everybody go out and get one last drink, one last party before we enter this lockdown. I mean, I was just watching a video there, and it said that the case that was number 31 in South Korea, the woman that was 31 has infected 5,000 people. That's what they're saying. She's infected 60% of the people in South Korea. And she was number 31 because of what she'd done. She went from, so she was in a car accident, and they took her to the hospital. And they said to her that they were going to check her temperature and stuff like that. She said, no, I want to go out. She left, she went to two ceremonies in a chapel or a church, and there was 1,200 people each time. And then those people went to a funeral, which was a large gathering. And then she went out for lunch at a buffet or something like that, which was also another large gathering. So she's saying that the people that she's infected, who's then infected everyone else, it's just basically spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
But again, I'm very mindful of what it is that people are actually saying. I think there's a lot of scaremongering. So I've looked at statistics over the past few days, and I've been sharing things about people recovering from this.
Yeah.
And there's over 100,000 people that have actually recovered from the coronavirus.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to talk about the deaths, but there's been like 330,000 cases of this. So the way I look at it, that's a third of the people have recovered. If you look that way.
I think the main thing we're trying to do is not cause panic in it, which obviously there's some things that we can tell us, some things we can't tell us. My general gist of the timing of it all is literally wait until a certain point. I mean, I think from what we've gathered, it's going to spread. There's no doubt in that, whether they lock us all in for foreseeable or not. I think it will end up spreading, won't it? So I think we're just trying to wait to get to a certain level, try and press down on it a little bit, which obviously, you know, on Monday, they were telling us it's just going to be certain things shutting down. Before you know it, end of the week, everything's shutting down. So maybe they could be a bit more honest with it. But yeah, at the same time, if someone tells you, right, next Friday we're going to be shut down, even more people are going to be going out, getting the last panic buys. Yeah. Touching on that, it's been ridiculous, this panic buys, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a six-month-old baby, and a couple of times that my partner went out to get, like, supplies for us, and she went out to, my mum done the same, and you couldn't get anything.
Yeah.
And I was saying, if you're in a supermarket and there's someone in front of you on just basically piling everything into a trolley, that's going to cause some sort of animosity. There's going to be anger, there's going to be fear. Yeah. There, because people are panicking that, well, if this goes on for months and months, then we're not going to be able to feed our children, we're not going to be able to have nappies, whatever it is, there's not going to be any food. So again, I think that they've got to be more clear on things.
Yeah.
I seen yesterday in Spain, they've added on another 15 days, and what Spain said was that they didn't follow Italy quick enough, and they're saying that if England doesn't follow, and Boris Johnson doesn't follow suit very quickly, then it's going to be even worse here.
Yeah.
So again, it's trying not to create panic. But I don't know if you see, I done a video on my Facebook page, and I put it on, and I got a lot of criticism for going out a walk. There was loads of people saying you should follow the government guidelines, and I says, I went for a walk in a secluded area along a canal. And
which is in the guidelines, even the new, because obviously, I think that was before, you put the post up before last night's announcement, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So even before then, you know, even after the latest announcement, you know, you can go out. We do want you to get out, try and keep within your family, go for a jog. I mean, for work, I'm self-employed. I think on paper, I should be going out working, but I'm not going in and out of offices and people's homes. And I mean, I'm going to struggle financially, but it is what it is, isn't it? We haven't actually been given clear direction yet not to go out and work.
Yeah, that was the same way I was looking at, obviously. Right now, there's a lot of people who are going to be on social media. So social media is going to be on fire. Everybody's going to be all over it. Whether you're sitting in the house or whether you're out a jog, whatever, sitting in the garden, there's people who are going to be on social media. And I think that we need to be mindful of what we're watching and stuff like that. There isn't any clear guidelines on what it is that you have to do. I mean, all the building sites in Glasgow are still open.
Yeah.
They're still open, but I'm also self-employed as well, like yourself. And the uncertainty of when you're next going to earn any money is going to be challenging for people. And that's a mindset in itself. People are really fearful, and they're going into this this shell, which is why on that Facebook post people are attacking the. I mean, all the content I've put on, I've been putting content on my social media for years, and I've never had an adverse reaction like I got the other night.
Until this came up.
Yeah. On Sunday, I put on a, it was like a guided relaxation session.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that as well.
Yeah. And see, that got little engagement. But on that post, what I put on where I was saying, oh, I was out a walk, I was doing this, there is people recovering from this. People are like, no, I don't believe that because they're not seeing it on the media. So they see what I've obviously researched. I've seen that there's people recovered, but they're seeing the deaths that's on the television, and they're saying that's what we want to see because they're panicking. So they're living in fear, and trying to switch someone's mindset from that, it can be difficult when people go down the rabbit hole and they're engrossed. And I mean, I know people who are relatively switched on, and all of a sudden they're now saying, oh, Boris is on the television, as if Boris is some sort of interesting character who's going to give them hope. He's filling people with fear. But I suppose there's a thing that I registered for, and it's called ask-you.com. It's for any coaches, therapists, psychologists. They can go and register, and you can support the NHS staff in this difficult period with things like stress, anxiety, worry. So anybody who's watching this, I would urge them, if you're a coach or a psychologist, then log on to that. And if you can give a couple of hours of your week to try and help someone who isn't going to be in a good place. These people are going to be seeing intensive care units. They're going to be seeing people dying. They're going to be seeing people really struggling. And that's going to affect them massively. My mindset is what's going to happen after this.
Yeah.
This is happening right now, so we can't change that. That can't be changed. It's we're in this. But I'm now thinking about what's going to happen in, say, 3 or 4 months' time when we come out of this. Is the coronavirus is still going to be there? It's still going to be there because not everybody's going to be infected.
Yeah.
Are they going to have a vaccination by then? Is people going to want a vaccination when they don't know what's in it? And what's going to happen if you don't take this vaccination? Because I've heard a lot of stories, like, obviously you've heard all the conspiracy stuff going on, and it's, they're going to give you a vaccination, then they're going to give you a microchip to say that you've got this vaccination. And it's basically a way for everybody to be controlled. Whether these things are true or not, we'll only need to wait and see. But I'm just really worried about how people are going to feel emotionally, mentally, when we come out of this process of lockdown or isolation.
Yeah. Did you listen to the guy on, I think it was LBC radio, the frontliner who was working? He won't say what hospital he was working in, but he works for the A&E department. Don't know if you caught any of that.
No, what was he saying about that?
He was basically saying, you know, he's been in there for 25 years and he's never seen anything like it. And it is harder. You know, I'm at home and I'm stressing about it. You're at home. So it's people who actually don't have a choice to be at home and are actually dealing with it for us. I think they're the ones who are going to need the most support more than anything.
So obviously with what I do, I massively believe in mindset and loyalty. I'm not attracting this into my life. I believe that if I get it, I will 100% fight it and I'll beat it without any major implications. But see, when people are thinking through fear all the time, it lowers the immune system. Yeah. Their bodies are highly stressed. The cortisol levels and the adrenaline levels are highly, highly motivated. They're stimulated. And then they're crashing all the time. So people will be going through bouts of feeling okay, feeling highly wired, and then they'll be like, oh, I need to lie down, I feel tired, all the way through this. And the thing that was worrying for me, like I've said, is this undisclosed time of how long you're going to be locked away. Because this, it started the same way in Italy, and people were allowed to go out jogging and things like that, and then they stopped all that. Now, I don't know what it's like in Manchester, but I know that the mentality of people in Glasgow, they'll maybe be able to take a couple of weeks of this, but see, after a few weeks, they're going to be like, I'm not fucking staying in the house anymore. And that's where the problems are going to arise.
Yeah. Human nature, we're not supposed to be built indoors, are we? But if it helps the world, then it's one of them, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to say now, we're only a few days in. Don't know what we're both going to be like in 3-4 weeks' time having the same discussion.
Yeah, I think it. This is what I'm... I didn't want to attack when I put that post on the other day. But see, in a few weeks' time, see the people who were all for this lockdown and isolation, I wonder how they're going to be feeling in a few weeks' time. And that's where... This is where the panic really will set in, I think. But it's about doing the things that's right for you while you're on this lockdown. Like I said, I was doing relaxation sessions. I've still got clients that I'm speaking to through Skype and FaceTime and things like that. Still doing sessions, coaching sessions with them. For me, this is a real chance for people to grow. If you've not read a personal development book, then read it. If you've not read up on nutrition, then read up on it. There's things that you could be doing just now rather than sitting in the house watching Netflix, which probably 90% of the people are going to be doing. But there is people who will be massively into their meditation, visualization. And I look at basically for this page and what it is, everything that I do. See, if you look at Conor McGregor's performance levels when he was doing everything that was good for him, he was doing his visualizations, he was doing his yoga, massively into spirituality. That's why he went from where he was to there. And then I look at, obviously, when he went down. And then I looked at his last fight. And after it, he was working with someone very, very similar to what I do. He's obviously the best in the world at it. He was working with Tony Robbins. He was working with a performance coach. He wasn't working with coaches who could get him fit, because the fitness comes when you're training. Yeah. But what was going on in his head while all that was happening, when he was, obviously, everybody's heard the story. I don't want to bring any of that up because I'm not going to say anything about the guy's character or anything. He obviously had a lot of stuff going on in his head that he had to get rid of before he went into the next fight. And that's why he worked with Tony Robbins, who is probably the most well-known performance coach in the world. And I look at all the guys within the MMA world who are at the top of their game, and they all have performance coaches out with their training coaches, because that's different. It's a totally separate thing. Yeah. They've got these guys like myself who work on limiting beliefs, what's stopping them, setting goals. I mean, there's loads of different things that you can work with. I work with some boxers and stuff like that as well, some football players. And it's easy to take them to the fitness level, but it's the mind, it's the mindset that I believe is the strongest. Because see, if your mind is strong, the training's easy.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, it's not your bicep that says, oh, I'm not going to go to the gym. It's the voice in your head that tells you deserve an extra 20 minutes in bed. Or, do you know what, just eat that cake. It's the mind that tells you that. It's nothing else. But people think that, I just can't be bothered today. I feel lazy. It's lazy because it's a lazy mindset. It's not lazy because your body is lazy. You can continue to do that. These guys are training every day.
It is hard to keep yourself motivated, isn't it? Like, no matter what you do in life, it's hard to kind of keep consistency up as well. Like, I can be great for a day. Could do it, if you set something up that first day, you're amazing.
Yeah.
It's carrying it on and keeping it up. So maybe not setting too high of goals.
Yeah,
so you kind of lose hope through it as well. Like, something just take one day at a time.
Well, that's that is a coaching model. You set goals that are realistic and achievable. Because if you're setting goals within your life and you're setting things that's massively out of your reach, then your mind has 60,000 thoughts every single day, and 95% of them are the exact same as yesterday. So see this, we thought that, oh, I'm going to train for 7 hours today, or I'm going to be a millionaire. That's just a thought. You've got to put all this stuff down in paper. You've got to give yourself time scales of when you're going to do it, so that when you can see it day in and day out, you can then work. You've got to be able to see it all the time. There's a part of your brain, the reticular activating system, that just flushes out thoughts. It just flushes out things that aren't relevant to you. So with the reticular activating system, it's like, if you say, oh, I really want to get a white BMW, why is it when you drive out in the street, you see white BMWs everywhere? It's because it's been brought to your awareness, it's been brought to your attention, and it's a focus in your mind, a thought. So you constantly see them. Those cars were always there. They never just started to appear. But when you're constantly looking at your goals and trying to focus on them, and you see them in black and white every single day, then it means that your mind is training itself, right? That's something that I want, something that I want, something that I want. And the way that I look at it with boxers and things like that and people that I coach, I will say to them, so what is your overall, what's your goal? And they all say, I want to be world champion. But that's a very vanilla goal to me. It's very bland. There is no time scales on it. I could easily say to you, right, okay, you will be world champion, but you're not going to be world champion for 15 years. How does that feel to you?
Yeah. Different
mindsets. You've got to get them firing. Right? No, I want to achieve this in a couple of years, right? Because we can all have goals, but see, if you don't have any plans on how to achieve those goals, again, it's just a thought, it's just a pipe dream. You've got to set down a plan, a specific plan of action. So if you want to be world champion, you've got to go and see what these world champions are doing. You've got to behave, eat, train, think the exact same way as these guys, or else it's never going to happen. Mike Tyson was famous for saying, I had people beat before they even went into the gym, before they even went into the ring. So it's all in the mind. For me, everything's to do with your mind and really focusing on what it is that you want in life, because we wander off track all the time with a shiny penny. That looks good, so I'll go to that. And we wander off track, but it's trying to stay focused. Keep the main goal within your reach.
But how did you get into the meditation side of things? Because that's something I definitely could. I've actually tried to get into it myself. Not got there yet, but I would actually like to set an hour a night to do that. How did you get into that?
So when I got sober, I went to a fellowship. I don't know if you know anything about that. So I went to a place, Alcoholics Anonymous, some of the principles there, they incorporate meditation, and it's advised to increase your spiritual connection, then you meditate, and it's been brilliant for me. I do a lot of, some people will meditate differently. I like to do a lot of visualization. So I like to visualize my day, visualize my goals. So if I've got my goals wrote down, I'll look at them before I go into my meditation or visualization, and then I'll sit and focus on that. And that's basically what Conor McGregor done again. We'll go back to him. The reason that he was predicting everything that was going to happen with the punch with Jose Aldo was because he seen it in his mind. It wasn't that's not something that he was making up. That's law of attraction stuff. He's predicting what round he's going to knock him out in, and that's what he was doing. And I've done it with loads of different things within my life. I've done it with jobs. I've done it with my baby. I wrote down in a book. So basically, I do gratitude lists, things that I'm grateful for. And I wrote down in a book on the 18th of December, 2018, that I was happy and grateful for my healthy kids. And 1 week later, my partner came to me and she said that she was pregnant, and I hadn't wrote that down in this book. I've been keeping this book for a couple of years, and I hadn't wrote anything down about kids before in it, and I wrote it down, and 1 week later she came in and she said, I think I'm pregnant.
You need to get them six numbers written down for a Saturday night.
You've got to be careful what you write down and what you wish for, because it can become your reality very quickly, as I found out.
Oh,
but with regards to the meditation, it's really good for slowing down your nervous system. So see, right now, with everything that's going on, with this mass panic, 10, 15 minutes of meditation in the morning and 10, 15 minutes of meditation at night is going to massively help your cortisol levels, your stress levels. So imagine you're sitting just now and the cup's full, the cup's up here. One little tiny thing in the house and the cup is going to overflow. But with your meditation, you can empty the cup so it's sitting here, so that while you're in the house and maybe the kids do something, the cup will start to fill. It will start to fill, it will start to fill, but at least it's not overflowing at the smallest little thing.
Right.
The missus burns the toast and there's a mass brawl.
There's going to be plenty of that with all these people being locked inside, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think that, obviously, there is positives with this, and I do believe that this is a chance for people to connect, connect with their families, connect with their parents, connect with the people, their children. Because I share it all the time, the world is so materialistic just now that people think kids want the latest iPads. There's young lads going to school with Moncler jackets on and Canada Goose jackets. This is the parents that create this. Kids only want your time. Kids want time and love. That's it. See, when they get older and they're so damaged and they're running about the streets crazy, it's because you never gave them your time to teach them. You would rather give them the jacket at £600 so that you make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
That's what that was the conclusion that I was coming to when I seen all the kids with various different designer clothes on that's worth £800 jackets and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? We've actually got a really good schedule for, obviously, there's no more school and all that. Missus has got a good schedule up, which is like a bit of maths and English every day, bit of MMA, bit of PE, bit of creativity, bit of electronics, bit of helping mummy and daddy. And it's set it up pretty much from 9 o'clock in the morning up to 7 o'clock at night. And I think it was just good to have something every day, like a good schedule to keep in place, because that's got to help with your mentality as well, hasn't it? Keeping sane.
Yeah. Well, exactly what you've said there. You've got a structured plan on how you're going to roll your day out. Yeah. And that's what everybody needs to do. If you've got kids who are used to going to school, if we break this routine for an undisclosed amount of time, now I heard that some schools aren't going back till after summer. I've heard some aren't going back till after New Year. How are you going to get all these kids back into school? Because they're not going to turn up Monday morning and just be like, oh, do you know what? I'm really glad to be back. And that's another mindset. So with what you've done and with what I know that a lot of other parents have done, having that structured routine and really sticking to it, it's not just for 1 week. It's got to be a structured plan throughout this. Because see, when the kids go back to school, trying to get them back to school is going
it's
to
not
be
not going to happen.
No, because they'll be so used to walking about the streets with their mates during the day. They'll be having long lie. Their mind will stop working because they're not educating themselves. They're not practicing with maths. They're not practicing with English. They're not doing any sort of homework or anything like that. So their mind starts to slow down and switch off. It's like if I'm reading books all the time and then I stop reading books, you start to slow down. You start to, right, I'll just put Netflix on. Do you know what? I'll just have a chocolate bar. And then before you know it, you're in a full... It doesn't take long to break it.
It's only 5 minutes. Yeah. 5 minute decision can change. Like smoking, I tried quitting smoking for years, years and years and years. And like I say, you can not smoke for 3 months. One cig, back to 20 a day.
Yeah.
And luckily, I'm on the vape at the minute, which is still classed as smoking, but I've been on that for a year now. Not had a cig yet.
But,
need to get off that next. Yeah. You don't do hypnotism as well, do you?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I do. Hypnotherapy, NLP, and coaching. So the hypnotherapy works with the subconscious mind, because you've got a lot of subconscious. That's a subconscious habit. So you need to break that, you need to interrupt that, and you need to install new healthier habits. Usually with smoking, you can do that in one session. You can do that with a prolonged, maybe couple hour session, to work with the subconscious and change your beliefs surrounding that. But yeah, there's the tools and techniques can be used for anything. I mean, I've got clients who are massive achievers, directors of companies, but then I've got clients who really struggle to get out of bed. So there's something for everybody within this. I don't think that we ever stop learning. I don't think that we ever stop trying to grow, because the minute that we stop trying to grow, what happens? We just stop. We stop there. So I think that it's always about trying to take yourself to your peak performance. What is, for me, it was always, what level can I take myself to? What, how much pressure could, I used to be really into training. I've not been as much into training over the past few years, but I used to be really into, right, how much strain can I put on my body? How much can I actually put pressure on? And I used to do crazy things like half marathons on rowing machines and things like that, just because I had that mindset where I want to break myself. You would go into the gym, and I was training with lads that was in the Marines at the time, and their mindset when it comes to training is just unbelievable. My mate, he's got a gym over in Hillington. I'll give him a shout, Commando XFit. That's an amazing facility, probably one of the best facilities in Glasgow, if not the best. And unfortunately, it's had to close due to this period and the uncertainty of when it's going to open. But what he done was he let the people, the members in the gym, come in for a small deposit, take equipment home with them so that they could do home workouts, which I thought was fantastic. Yeah, that was really good. That was a nice touch. So it's keeping people engaged and keeping people moving. Like when I'm done here, I'm going to take the baby out for a walk. When I put that post on the other day and people were jumping on it and saying that, oh, you've got to stay indoors. Like, you can't force people to stay indoors. See, as long as you're keeping your social distance, nobody's told us that this virus jumps from person to person. So as long as you're keeping your social distance, then I don't see what, and obviously personal hygiene and washing your hands and things like that, I don't see it being a massive issue. It's different in places like London as well, when it's so densely populated and the underground is just like a zoo at the best of times. I mean, what's getting me with this is apparently the first cases happened in October last year.
In China,
So why did we not know about this beforehand? Why is flights still be coming in and out of China?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned when we look back, isn't there?
Yeah. I think that it's going to be a painful lesson for some people, but like I said, as long as you're watching the right content and you're doing the things that's good for your mind, good for the body, good for the soul, the spirit, then everybody should come out of this all right. But the stuff that's being portrayed on the news and things like that, I can't buy into it all the time, because it's just all death. There's just fear everywhere.
Yeah, I think we need to accept we've got to make some subtle changes as well, haven't we? I mean, I've only little things that make you smile. I'm not playing on my PlayStation for 3 months. Last night I was straight on it and I got the bug back straight away. It was like, so there's a little win out of it all.
But again, you're connecting with people. I take it you've been playing online.
Yeah, you're connecting
with people, and people are talking and chatting and keeping spirits up. It's all good as long as people are staying connected. But as long as you keep moving as well and don't sit in that room too long.
Doing exercising as well. But you know what? I went on it to get away from all this virus rubbish. And the first two people I was in a game with was COVID-19 and Ebola. Couldn't believe it. You can't even make it up. Like, what are these people doing?
But if people are getting on and connecting and having a laugh, not about the virus or anything, but at least having a laugh within their life. Yeah. I mean, you've got to laugh, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Just now, I know people who have basically a lad messaged me last night and he said that his gran's not going to make it to the end of the week. And that's sad. That's really sad. But what can we do just now apart from what the government are telling you, which takes me back to the initial start of this chat, and they're not being very clear on what it is that they have to do. I mean, look at, you're self-employed. You could easily go out to work.
Yeah.
No, nobody's stopping you from doing that.
No, literally, we made the decision at the weekend to hit it on the head and more to life. Health before wealth.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was the same. I was kind of going about my business normally, and my partner said to me, listen, it's either you stop that and you isolate, or you're going to need to stay at your mum and dad's and FaceTime the baby because we can't take the chance, which is difficult because freedom is a thing that's a survival. See, when humans go into that, I'm trapped. That's a whole other different mindset in itself when you feel as if you're enclosed in a space, enclosed in a house. Feels like jail a little bit to me, especially when someone's telling you that, well, you need to stay in, but for how long, we don't know. I mean, Spain's not going to get out until the middle of April. I've got a friend who stays over.
At least.
My cousin was actually in Madrid, which is the worst hit place. And he came back and he was unwell just after Christmas with all these symptoms, sweating massively, cough, everything. And he's convinced that he had this then.
Right.
But you don't know. Another lad, I know he had messaged me and he said that he's got it, but he's not been tested. So they're diagnosing people over the phone. So I don't know if this is counted as a statistic, if he would be added into that.
Yeah, I think the statistics have got to be looked at with a pinch of salt, haven't they?
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I think this is where people are really getting really getting scared, because they're seeing, like in Italy, 700 people died in one, over 700 people died in one day. And people are just, people are experiencing that themselves and they're saying, that's going to be me. Because your mind can't go into that, right? That's somewhere else. They see 793 and they go, that's me. That's me, because they're seeing it all the time. I mean, they're seeing people on, I don't believe that they should be putting people on the television who are in intensive care units sitting with oxygen masks on. And that's just massively scaring everybody. But this is what they're reporting.
It's crazy. I mean, I suppose we have got to focus on the worst bit. I mean, apart from the fact it sells, let's face it, a lot of them, first and foremost, what are people going to watch? But I suppose at the same time, if you don't see that side of things, maybe I would be at work now. Do you know what I mean? Maybe a few million of us would be out working when we really shouldn't be doing. But so I suppose it's catch-22, isn't it? It's a fine line between putting too much out there and not putting enough out.
Yeah. So do you do the MMA yourself? Do you do the...
I'm an electrician by trade.
Yeah, but do you do that? Do you do the...
No, we do a bit of training. My lads of our gym's actually doing online content, which is brilliant. They did the first one last night. So brilliant. 6 o'clock, we went down there. Coaches on the TV and that. And the kids, aren't they? So, I mean, we're lucky at our age of 3 and 5. Same with you, you're just going to be there, isn't it? Whereas I don't know how kids with teenagers are going to be coping, because how are you going to tell them to stay in?
Well, I had this conversation with my partner today, and when I was out on Sunday walking along the canal, there was a group of young lads walking about with the bottles, and you're never going to get lads who are 14, 15, 16 to stay in for 6 weeks, whatever.
You wouldn't have got me to stick in, I'll tell you that right now. Not a chance when I was that age would I be staying in.
Yeah, no way. And do you know what? This is where we're going to come up against problems, because the European mentality in countries like Spain and Italy is totally different from the UK. I mean, if you look at the gangs and groups of boys in Manchester, Liverpool, Glasgow, London, they're never going to stay in. Not a chance they're going to stay in. And this is where the police are going to need to enforce it heavily. And this is when people will start, right, you can't go out at all because people aren't listening.
And then it's going to lead to riots because they're going to feel like they're being discriminated against. Not because they're just naive, I suppose, and not mature enough to actually realise what's going on. And
yeah,
I just hope it doesn't get to that. But it's England, isn't it? Oh, UK.
Yeah,
we have got a different mentality to a lot of places.
Yeah, I think in these countries when they're telling people to stay in, it's hitting home with them. But here, I don't think it's just going to be as easy to keep people in. But
I don't think we're as family orientated as a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
Sad as that sounds, we're not really. I mean, look at Italians. It's like very social, close-lit communities, aren't they? Whereas I don't really think we've got that over here. Not in volume, anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right there. And again, this is the time for people to connect again with their family and rekindle that and get that connection back with their kids. But, I mean, I used to work with kids within the care system, and we were getting a lot of kids who were being brought up from London because of all the stuff within the gangs, and it's going to be tough for them down there just now, trying to keep people in, especially lads who are involved in a lot of crime and things like that. They're just not going to listen. That's when people will start to be breaking into the shops and stuff like that. But this is for me, this is all a mindset. You've got to stay strong throughout this. You've got to do the things that's right. And you will come out of this okay. But if we sit in the house and do nothing for 6 weeks and we don't work on ourselves, then that's when we will come out. We'll come out of this in a worse off state if we don't do any work on ourselves.
Yeah. Have you got any kind of routine set in at the minute? Anything on paper? Daily routine?
Yeah, I mean, I get up and I always do a bit of prayer and meditation in the morning, just to connect, just to ground myself. And right now I've been kind of trying to do some stuff for my website, do some content for social media, and just connecting with my existing clients basically, and setting up FaceTimes and Skypes and stuff like that with them. So I'm still trying to work, but it's very difficult, as I says, to try and get somebody into a relaxed mindset sitting over Skype, and then they've maybe got the TV on in the background.
It's not the same effect.
It's not the same as sitting someone down and really going through something with them, because I can really feel energy, and you can get, that's when you can start to boost people and really give them something. But sitting over Skype and things, it's not my first choice, my first port of call. I wouldn't do that. Even with my clients abroad and things like that, I do travel to see them every now and again, so that I can do a face-to-face full day session with them, so that they're getting the most out of it. As opposed to, it's easy to sit in front of a camera and say, yeah, I'm feeling fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's easy to say that.
Yeah, it's different when it's a screen.
Yeah, when you're with someone, you can read their physiology, you can tell straight away if they're actually in a good place or in a bad place. So what's your plans for the rest of...
Time we're on. 4 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. Oh, I forgot. 5 o'clock's out mummy and daddy, I think. 6 o'clock's tea.
Yeah.
So we've got MMA and then reading and books.
Good stuff.
Pretty good, pretty regimented, but a bit relaxed as well. Because if we said it in an hour, most of the stuff's done in 40 minutes. So there's still time to, you don't actually feel like you're in a routine. It's just flowing through it. I mean, we're only on day two, so I'm saying it's working, but I'll let you know in a few weeks.
it's flowing just now.
Yeah, absolutely fine right now. But something resonated with me. This was off a frontline doctor who said... you know, in World War II, people were lying to go over there and fight for your country. We're being asked to sit on a sofa with everything at home. So I think when you put it that way, it could be a lot worse, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's how people are interpreting this. You can take it the wrong way, and and you can react through fear, or you can just accept this is happening. It is, we can't stop it just now, and all we can do is follow the government guidelines as best that we can, and not put anybody at risk. That's all we can do.
Yeah. With him changing every day as well, you can't really plan for everything. Like last week, we were planning business-wise to do certain jobs and not certain jobs. And the back end the next week, we thought, right, no, don't do any of that because it's not worth it. Just do emergencies. And yesterday, we were expecting to not be given a choice. We've still been given a choice. It's just crazy.
Yeah. But again, this is where what I was saying at the start. Good leadership. He would be able to enforce something, and just by speaking, you would know he means business. Could you imagine, I'm maybe using the wrong example here, but Vladimir Putin coming on the television and telling the Russians to stay in? I don't think there'd be a Russian with one toe over the door. But we've got Boris Johnson, who's very vague, sitting with a head full of straw, and you're just like, what is going on here? Because a lot of people don't even believe that this is real. A lot of people, I believe, don't think that this is actually that. I've seen things that people are putting this down to this 5G. Don't know what you know about that.
Oh, don't get me started on that, mate. Yes. I've got time for all that.
Yeah, you've seen all this stuff.
I've come across electrical meters with cages around them. Oh, I'm not going into all that. leave them to it.
Yeah. But yeah. Hopefully, things turn out all right for everybody, and we can come out strong on the other side.
Yeah, I think as a whole we will. It's like I say, don't panic. Meditation. I think meditation should really be something we should all be looking at. I do try it myself, but 5 minutes of me in an empty room and just my thoughts. I can't do it. I'm already like, I want to go and do something now, but yeah. I know I need to sit down for a good 20 minutes and.
But see,
once I start, I'll start it.
Anything, meditation is like anything else. It's practice, practice, yeah. Practice. There isn't a right or wrong way of doing it either. People think that you've got to be sitting on the top of a mountain with your fingers like that. You can just be sitting in a space like this just now with your eyes closed and allow the thoughts to come through. Allow them to come into your awareness and just let them drift off. Just, it's not about... People will have a thought, and then when it comes in, they start feeding it, and that's what they do. So a lot of thoughts that people have is that they aren't good enough, and then they'll feed that thought, and they'll start to talk to it. But I like what Eckhart Tolle says, don't be the thinker, be the observer. Be aware of the thoughts, but don't persistently sit and think about them and manifest and make them your reality. Be aware of them, let them pass your attention, and then just keep going on and on. It's just sitting... quiet.
How'd you find sleeping? Are you a good sleeper?
Yeah, I'm amazing. But that's all
because
through.
Because of what you do, like...
If you're going to bed stressed, that's why people at night time, they'll go to bed with a racing brain, highly stressed, and then they can't sleep.
Yeah.
That's why they can't sleep, because they're highly stressed, highly wired, racing brain, overthinking, all that, and they can't sleep. But I sleep well, very well.
even with a new baby.
Yeah, she sleeps. She's pretty good. She was. It was quite hard at first, but she's settled into it nicely.
Nice. How does it feel being a dad now? I bet that's changed some of your thinking processes and the way you'd look and read stuff a bit.
Yeah, that's been the biggest gift. That it's a gift to be given a baby, especially with how chaotic my life was before she came along.
She knows you're talking about her.
Yeah, I can hear her just now. She's having a meltdown right now. But yeah, it's a responsibility that you're given. You're given a responsibility, and when you're given something like that, it's like I said, it's a gift from God. it shouldn't be wasted. They should make the most of the time as best you can, and be present. That's the biggest thing, is be present and want to be part of it. A lot of people don't want to be part of it and not part of the process.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But as well, it's for things like that, for me, it always comes to how they were brought up themselves. And
yeah. What, different generation and generation even before that and before that as well.
Yeah. I think that that's what a lot of people come and they need to deal with. They've got to deal with the emotional side of what's happened to them when they've been younger, to then be able to move forward. And that's why I look at fighters, and I always think to myself, why are you fighting? Why did you start fighting in the first place? Because see, ultimately, if a fighter goes into the ring highly wired, which a lot of them are, they go in and they're wired and they're ready to kill. See, if you go into the ring relaxed, or the octagon, whatever one, if you go in there relaxed, you are probably 80%, 90% more likely to win.
Yeah, I was speaking to someone yesterday about the exact same thing. Yeah.
And that's why, see, I know I always use Conor McGregor as an example, but it's because he's probably the most well-known. When he goes in and he's so relaxed, apparently from what I heard that last fight, he turned up an hour before the fight, was gloved up in 20 minutes, done a bit of stretching, and then went out and absolutely obliterated him. And I don't disbelieve anybody telling me that he was relaxed and he came in and he wasn't bothered. I believe that because I know the work that he was doing on himself before he prepared for that fight. Now, Tony Robbins is millions to work with. He is millions. And for him to work with Conor McGregor, he would have pulled in a couple of favours there, because he's got like a 5-year waiting list to work with him. He's worked with 5 American presidents. He's a very, very intelligent man. But yeah, he's probably the messiah of the coaching world.
Do you like listening to Peter, what's he called? The Canadian psychologist. Peter, I'm going to have to Google it now. Canadian psychologist. Jordan Peterson. Got the Peter in there. Peter in there.
Yeah, I've heard him. I've not seen much of his work, but I have heard him.
Oh, have you not? I've been listening to his podcast quite a lot recently, and he's really good. Really good at like his mental state and just general life thoughts more than anything. So yeah, give him a shout, see what you think, let me know what you think about his stuff.
There's an amazing show podcast with is it a guy called Tom Bilyeu or something? It's called called Impact Theory. It's probably the biggest show that's going around just now, all to do with mindset, and he's got loads of different guys on it. He's got Wim Hof. Don't know if you've heard of Wim Hof.
No.
Not heard of the Iceman?
No. Oh, the Iceman?
Yeah.
As in Hitman?
No. The Iceman, they call him, his name's Wim Hof, but they call him the Iceman, so he does the cold water therapy.
Right, okay.
So I've been doing that on and off for about a year, and you go into freezing cold water, for just after Christmas, I was having cold baths every morning. And basically what that does is that reduces your stress levels, it reduces inflammation in the body, helps you to regulate your breathing. And he believes through his breathing techniques and cold water therapy that you can regulate your immune system. So people who have been doing, there's people in Glasgow that have been doing a lot of his stuff, and they believe that you can't catch an illness. Apparently he's not been sick in 13 or 14 years. They injected a bacteria into his arm, and his body went straight to the arm and basically killed off this bacteria. Powerful stuff.
But that's just a normal Glasgow bath, isn't it?
Yeah. We get bathed outside, ain't we?
Still got Tyler at the end of the garden.
What part of Manchester are you from? Because there's some rough.
I'm from Stockport, mate. Sunny Stockport.
Round that Salford way and all that. There's nuts down there.
I think you get anywhere when you're from somewhere. It's just normal, isn't it? And you don't, I think, no matter where you are in the world, you always think somewhere's rougher or nicer than where you are. But then people looking in will think exactly the same, either rougher or nicer. And I think you just get used to your communities and where you're from, don't you?
Yeah, it's part and parcel of growing up, isn't it? There's good parts and bad parts of every single place, I believe, in the world. There's good bits and bad bits.
Literally, some of them are just straight away from each other as well.
Yeah, I think that this has came at the wrong time, not the wrong time, because there was never going to be a right time for this to happen, but I do believe that there was a lot of people who were starting to wake up, and people were starting to take control and ownership of their mental health. They were starting to take control of their lives. I do events and seminars and things like that, and people were really starting to buy into the concepts of they can create their own destiny, they can change their own lives through their thought processes, their behaviours, through their daily habits. And this is through a massive spanner in the works, and the world is never going to be the same as we know it. It's going to be totally different now. I just hope and pray that people come out on the other side of this strong, and they're doing the right things just now, so that when they do come out, their life's going to be better. Yeah, everybody, I speak to a lot of guys just now, and everybody's trying to think of ways on how can I make my business still work and be productive during this time. And I don't think right now that anybody can capitalize on people's misfortune and say, right, I want £70 an hour for this, or I want £80 an hour for that. When you don't have much to do anyway, that's why all the stuff that I'm doing just now is just, I'm putting free content out there. I always do anyway with my content for social media, but I said that I would work with anybody who's in the NHS. I'll work with them for free. Even if it was to go one-to-one, I would do my best to try and help people on the front line who are going to be struggling with this. They're the people who are going to struggle the most. Like you said, we've been asked to stay at home for a couple of weeks. These people are on the front line seeing what they're seeing, and this will be massively traumatic for them. This will be a traumatizing time.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, is it? I've literally just sent an email to our local trust, Stockport NHS Trust, because I see they've put an advert out wanting electricians, so we'll be doing the same. If I can help, I'll help. If I can't, PlayStation.
No, don't do too much, mate. Before the PlayStation, you can do your 20 minutes meditation.
Yeah, well, before or after. I'll probably need it after.
Do it both. Spell it out.
Yeah, I have phases, me, of PlayStation. Christmas, I was probably on it every night for a couple of hours. 3 months off it, maybe even 4 months. Got the bug. That'll be me now. Every night, I reckon I'll be on it at least an hour.
But that's only because you don't have anything to do. If you had something else to do, you wouldn't be on it. Because at Christmas time, again, there's holidays, people are off. Yeah. You don't have much to do. But there's better things to do than play the PlayStation.
I know. I do like a bit of reading. And obviously, with me having a full-time job and running a business, MMA UK stuff kind of took over everything, really. It only started with them in November. So since that, like you say, I've been doing stuff instead that I wouldn't have normally been doing. I would have been on the PlayStation instead, but enjoy doing stuff like this more. So you end up, I suppose, you do have to work towards it, but you automatically get in the zone anyway.
Yeah.
And it just comes. They say, oh, people are lucky, but you make your own luck, don't you?
Yeah. People create their own destiny through...
Yeah. It literally is. It sounds really, like, cheesy, but you do. If you want something, you won't get it if you don't work towards it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. Too many people jump onto social media and they think that these guys got overnight success. this has taken years and years and years of hard work. I mean, some of these guys are running on 3 and 4 hours of sleep a night, and they're already billionaires, but they still do that. Yeah. They've got their performance levels at its peak, and what makes them, what motivates them is to go and help people, and is business and finance and stuff like that. It's not, it isn't always to do with money for people. People think that money means that you're successful. It doesn't. It's some success for people is just being able to get up out of bed and not feel anxious or depressed. Not everybody's wanting to earn £1 million a year or £1 million a month, whatever it is. That's not everybody's goals. This journey in life is personal to everybody. It's your journey. You make it happen for yourself. Nobody's going to come and gift you a company. Nobody's going to come and gift you sobriety, or nobody's going to come and gift you family, whatever it is. You've got to go and earn that. You've got to earn everything in life, and you've got to do it through hard work. These guys that are fighting and things like that, they are training 3 and 4 times a day. Their nutrition is perfect. They're just doing every single thing. The guys that are at the top of their game, the elite, they are really, really working hard, and they're working with various different people. It's not just all to do with training and who can hit the hardest. It's got fuck all to do with that. Oh, there's a first swear word.
We did well, then. We did an hour without one swear word.
These guys are tapping into loads and loads of different things. It's not just training. It's, if anybody thinks that it's to do with how hard you can hit, it's nothing to do with that. It's how you can keep going, keep pushing, keep training. Because it's easy to fall off the wagon. It's easy to start, as you know yourself. It's easy to say, nah, I'll go and do something else tonight. Whereas these guys are like, no, I am focused on my goal, and I'm going to go and do that extra 20 minutes yoga. I'm going to do 20 minutes meditation. I'm going to do some relaxation. That's why they're at the top of their game. It's not because they're running around hitting bags all day. It's far from it.
Speaking of yoga, do you do any yoga?
I've done it a few times. I've played football. Football was my sport. So I'm stiff as a board. I've got football player legs. My hamstrings could ping at any moment just walking. but yoga is brilliant. I know a lot of yoga teachers. A girl, Claire Harper, over where we stay, she's got Harper Wellbeing. That's a brilliant facility. A lot of people use that. She does good stuff. She does retreats and things like that, which is it's brilliant. See whatever suits you as a person, not you directly, but whatever suits you as a person, then I'm all for it. Yeah. I'm all for doing the right thing. See if it's yoga. Russell Brand is massively into yoga. That's where he gets his spirituality from. Sadhguru, he's another spiritual teacher. He's massively into yoga. If that's where you get your good feeling from, then I'm all for it. You go and you crack on. But try loads of different things. I'm all about trying different things. I was a personal trainer before I was a performance coach. And that's what I used to say to my clients. I used to say, what is it that you like? What do you enjoy? Do you enjoy cardio? Do you enjoy weights? Do you enjoy CrossFit? Do you enjoy functional fitness, HIIT training? Whatever it is, what do you enjoy? And that's what we'll work on. Because there's no point in getting someone to run for 20 minutes on a treadmill if they're absolutely hating it. Because they eventually just go like that. That's something that I don't want to do. Their brain flushes the thought of getting fit out, and they just say, nah, I'm not going to do that. Whereas if you're doing things that people enjoy, then they'll come back again and again and again, because it's not something that they find hard. It's not something that they find difficult to go and participate in. They just go and do it because, oh, I'm enjoying that. Yeah, but at the same time, yeah. And it's what they're doing is they're actually installing healthy habits. It takes 66 days to install a habit, 66 days of persistently doing something every single day for that to become a habit in your life. And people think that they're going to get fit in 1 week.
not going to happen, is it?
No,
it's just not going to happen.
Doesn't happen.
I've tried it. Tried it. Nothing happened after a week. I'll tell you that 100%.
But you know how quickly it can go. How quickly it leaves.
Yeah, I did 3 months before Christmas. I put 2.5 stone on. I struggled putting weight on. So I did 3 months, fit to the schedule, day in, day out. And the results were amazing. Like, literally, I've got a side-by-side picture. You won't even recognise me. Like, really amazing results. Christmas came, literally, January the 1st, on the scales. Same weight. Virtually lost 2 stone in 3-4 weeks. Because I wasn't keeping the consistency up. So I'm back on it now. I'm on week 10 now. So I can already see the changes massively. It's about just sticking to it. That's the hardest thing. Like I say, if you stop for even one time, you don't go.
Yeah.
It's just a downfall spiral.
Yeah. And what you've said there, like the name of my Facebook page, on it, that's where I got that from. Because in Glasgow, when people say that they're on it, it means that they're drinking and they're out partying. That's what on it means. So that's what on it used to mean for me. But now on it means, are you on it? Are you on the diet? Are you on it? Yeah. And that's what I want to push. I want to push that. Are you on it? Are you on your mindset? Are you on your training? Are you on your diet? How are you feeling? How are you feeling physically, mentally, emotionally? You've got to tick all these boxes. Because if one's not matching up, then the full fucking house falls down.
Yeah, you've got to try and stay on it as well. Like you say, about going back to about the goals, setting too much goals. Before Christmas, my goals were ridiculous. Like I was weighing all my food, checking all my calories, doing all my micro calories, protein, everything, as well as doing the gym, as well as I wasn't smoking, don't drink, a quick coffee. Did it all at once, and it was brilliant. Brilliant 3 months. It was literally like a superhuman being.
Yeah.
But it was too much. It was too much. Now I'm cut some of it out. I'm drinking coffee. I'm not doing as much as my weighing my foods. So my results aren't as quick as they were previously. But hopefully, touch wood, it's a bit more something I'll be able to stick to for a bit longer.
Yeah. As long as it's sustainable and achievable.
Yeah.
You will know what it is that you are able to achieve. What I always say to people as well is having so you become the 5 people that you are around. So the 5 people that you are around the most, you become a byproduct of those 5 people. So if you are with people who are eating rubbish at work, who don't train, who smoke, who aren't into the gym, all of that stuff. If you're around them all the time and they're talking about eating kebabs and not training and playing PlayStation.
Do you know my mates?
You then become a byproduct of that. Yeah.
It's true though, you're exactly right though. It is true. Like I've heard loads of people say it and I used to just think whatever, do you know what I mean? But it's true. You can't get away from the fact that it is true. Your community.
That before Christmas, when you were firing on all cylinders, I guarantee you were in the gym all the time. You were speaking to your nutritionist, your coach, whoever it was. I guarantee you were speaking to those guys all the time. And not that you fell out with your mates, but they just weren't always at the forefront of your mind because you were on it. You were right. You were on the money. You were trying to achieve something, and that was your main goal. That was your focus, and you never let anything come between that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I say, when you're in the zone, you're in the zone. It's just trying to stick in the zone. That's the hardest bit. Well, the hardest bit is getting there, but you got to stay there as well.
Yeah, that and that is the hardest part. I mean, it's staying motivated all the time. But what I always say to people is, see if you do fall off the wagon, and you have one day, or maybe even 2 days, don't let 1 or 2 days turn into 1 or 2 months. Because you've had one bad day, don't give yourself a hard time about it. Get yourself back in the game, get yourself back in the zone, and start again. You can keep going. I mean, every day is a new opportunity. I love how people always say, oh, I'm going to start on Monday, as if Monday's this great big day. You can start on a Wednesday. it doesn't really
matter. It used to be me. I'll start it on Monday.
Yeah. But
don't know what Monday, but it'll be a Monday.
So, that year, is everything all good then?
Sorry, was that right?
Is that everything all good then, yeah?
Yeah.
So, what is it, how many people are on the page?
MMA UK?
Yeah.
Oh, we've just had one shut down on Facebook at Christmas. It was about 100k on that. And Facebook shut it down. Can't believe it. I don't know. Some politics. You'd have to ask Peter. Oh, it's Frankie, you know. Frankie, don't you?
Yeah, Frankie, yeah.
Yeah, you have to ask him. He's our tech boy.
Yeah.
He knows all the ins and outs. Great lad, him.
Yeah, he set my page up for me, my on-it page.
All right.
Yeah, so that's... But yeah, put it out there, and if there's any fighters that look for this type of stuff, then send me a message and I can sort some stuff out and be part of a fight. What I do is I usually be part of a fight camp. That's right. What I do. And get fighters meditating, visualizing, deep abdominal breathing, regulating the nervous system so that they're not stressed and stuff like that, because with training and all that comes stress on the body. And what they want to be doing is getting up is every single day and feeling relaxed. Because if you wake up and you feel stressed, nah, I can't be bothered training. Before you know it, maybe things fall apart. It's about staying on it and staying mentally focused as well as physically. Because what I do is totally separate from the physical side. I could easily do the physical side with people as well. But I believe if you get that right, then the physical side comes easy.
Yeah.
That's so much easier if that's right. And like I said, I always believe that fighters are fighting for a reason. And if you get to the bottom of that reason and work on that childhood stuff or whatever it is that's going on, and the emotional baggage, the performance levels go through the roof when you deal with the initial problem.
Well, they might stop fighting. What have you thought about that one?
if what?
We might stop fighting. We might listen to you, go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I don't actually want to do this anymore, mate.
No. Because that's what their passion is. Yes, they fight for a reason, but that's what where their passion lies. Their passion lies in the training. It's not actually the... Well, some people do want to go in there to hurt people, but... A lot of people, it's just a passion that they've got.
It's part of a life, isn't it?
Yeah, because once you start, I mean, I done boxing and things like that, and once you start, it becomes part of your life. You enjoy it. You enjoy the training. It's the discipline.
Yeah.
Fighters love the discipline of getting up every day. I know I'm going to train. I know I've got a fight coming up, so that's why I'm training. It's structure to their life, and if you take that away, they don't really do much. They don't have much. But yeah, all good.
Right, well, thanks for coming speaking to us, mate. It's been a pleasure.
Perfect.
Good luck with everything in the future, and I'll let you go and speak to you again at some point.
Speak to you soon, mate. I really appreciate that, Danny. Thanks a lot.
You too, mate. See you later. Cheers.
Mate. Bye-bye. Bye.